is Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or our podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem. Or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries, all of the word mentioned. Now, let's get to the Word.
We thank you, Lord, for this time in your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord. Bethlehem. Sounds kind of good. I think we could do a little better. Bethlehem. Amen. That is our theme throughout 2012. Is that we want to make him known. This next Sunday is fourth Sunday, and fourth Sunday is Share the Love Sunday. We want to remind you that you need to be praying for your 10 most wanted, those 10 people within your family, within your life that you want to see come to know God. We want you to pray for them. We want you to put them in the box and pray for them. And many are here today because somebody prayed for them. And many of your 10 most wanted may be here. Then that means that you need to fill in the blanks and keep your 10 active and current. Because that's the reason why we are here as a church, is to make him known. I said yesterday that the world came to church. The world came to church. And it's our job to bring the world to the church, because God has some redeeming that he wants to do. And I always challenge you also in that 10 most wanted, put at least one person on there that you don't think there would be no how, no chance for them to be redeemed. And I want you to pray for that person. And we'll see the power of God as we continue within this year to make him known. Amen? So next Sunday, we want you to be praying throughout the week and invite someone on your 10 most wanted, or maybe the Holy Spirit will lead you to not invite, but to share Christ. Somebody said that the world came to church yesterday, but did the world come to Jesus? And it's our job as individuals to bring the world to Jesus. It's good to birth the babies and then bring them into the house. Amen? Amen. And praise the Lord, because God has given us a goal this year from Acts chapter 5, verse 20, which says, go stand and speak. Go stand and speak this month about the love of God. For this month we are studying making him known through love. Making him known through love. And as the picture says on the screen, if you've seen it, God loves you this much, and his arms are stretched across the cross. God's love is unconditional, unlimited, and complete. Tyler Perry yesterday preached my sermon about what could separate you from the love of God yesterday. He sounds like a preacher to me. Some of the greatest preachers don't have the title of a preacher. Hello, somebody. But God used them to speak. Today we're going to share a message entitled Husbands and Wives' Role in Marriage. Husbands and Wives' Roles in Marriage. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. Ephesians chapter 5, 21 through 33. Would you stand in reverence to the Word of God? Stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the Word of God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor,
or neighbor,
or neighbor,
I'm going to stand on this Word.
In
Jesus' name. I believe it is four slides. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. One, two, three.
Submit one another
out of reverence to Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do in the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, and Christ is head of the church. His body is which he is the Savior. As the church submits to Christ, also wives submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her a holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, you husbands ought to love your wives as your own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hates his own body, but feed and care for their own body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of the body. For this reason, man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one in flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. And again, we're talking about this morning a husband's and wife's role in marriage. Husband's and wife's role in marriage. And we're going to talk on around four points this morning. We're going to talk on around. We're going to talk about mutual leadership. We're going to talk about mutual lying or yielding. And we're going to talk about mutual love and mutual lessons. Mutual leadership, mutual lying or yielding, mutual love, mutual lessons. And we want Christians to know that Christians should have mutually loving and respectful marriages to make him known. Christians should have mutual loving, respectful marriages to make him known. Before I start the lesson this morning or the message, I want to challenge everyone who was not here Wednesday night to go to our website and download the message entitled The Institute of Marriage. The Institute of Marriage. If you don't know how to do that, let maybe one of your grandbabies do that. But you need to really, I don't mean that in a bad way. They just seem to be more technologically advanced. My daughter taught me. I had my phone for 6 months, and in 2 minutes, my daughter taught me how to text. So they just seem to be more technically advanced. But you need to listen to that, the Institute of Marriage, because it tells you the history of marriage in the book of Genesis and Genesis chapter 2, and it shares the history of marriage. And as I shared on Wednesday night, we live in a different time. We live in a different culture where marriage is really not that automatic. There was a time in our culture, maybe 50 or 60 years, that a lot of people, you know, just would grow up and they would get married and have a family. And I told you some of the statistics that say that many of our households, 70%, don't have a man in it or a man on record that's there. 50% may have children in it, so like I said, there's a man somewhere. It's got to be a man somewhere. But I shared the genesis of marriage. It is a God-given institute. A God-given institute. I shared, I think, last Sunday, why some people don't marry. Some people don't marry because they're in a relationship with a playboy. And playboys like to what? Play. And they're going to run after every number amount of women they can, and they may just have you on the side as his side piece, his fake wifey. Hello, somebody. And you're there, and you're raising his kids, and it looks like you're a family. Most people think you're married anyway because you've been together for so long. But he has never made that commitment. He could be a playboy. He could be a playboy. Ask your neighbor. Neighbor?
Neighbor?
Or neighbor?
Boy.
Oh, you're a playboy. Could be a playboy. Could be a playboy. But there are other dynamics that are working as well. Many times women in our culture and time don't like to get married because the government is taking care of them. They get a government check, and they get government money for food. They get government money for rent. They don't have to pay an exorbitant amount of rent. They're living right across the street from where you are, and they're paying $25 a month on rent, and you're paying $1,500. And it's hard for somebody that's got it that good to fall in love with a man and give all of that up. I shared the dynamics of some older couples and the trials that they face. A lot of older couples don't want to get married because they don't want their money to get messed up, the Social Security issues. And there's so many different dynamics to why people don't get married. I think the number one dynamic for this generation is many of them have never seen a marriage. Hello. Many of them don't ever remember a man ever being in the house, so they think it's normal. They've never. It's hard for people who've never had a model to go out and just manifest that. And marriage is the model that God has given. And that's why I said to make him known, or marriages make him known, as we're going to see from the relationship aspect of what a marriage should be. But many children don't grow up and think to get married because they've never seen a marriage. Hello, somebody. And then they get saved and they become a part of the household of faith. And as some of you that's been around for so long and you come from a different time and a different dichotomy, you wonder now why, oh why, are these young folk not getting married? And we think it's something wrong with them. Really, when it's something wrong with where they have come from. Hello, somebody. And that's why family is so important, because a child will reproduce the exact same family that they came from most of the time. If they had a good, caring father there, especially for a young lady, and he becomes the model of the man that she will grow up and she will marry. Hello, somebody. And one of the ways you know that you've been a good man, and it's not always, there are always some exception to the rules, but one of the ways you know that you've been a good man is that your daughters go out and marry good men. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. They reproduce the exact same thing that they've come from, and it is either a generational blessing or a generational curse. Hello, somebody. And that's what we are as a church. Many times we're up against generational curses where children never knew their mother, or children never knew their daddies. But yes, they grew up, and they grew up in all kinds of dysfunction. Hello, somebody. When they go out to look for love, they end up doing like what many said Whitney Houston did. She grew up in the church, a church girl. Hello, somebody. But she married. I'm going to leave Bobby alone. But we'll say, for lack of a better word, she married a bad boy. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. People reproduce what they grow up in. People wonder, now why is it that Rihanna is going out with Chris Brown after he did all that he did to her? Well, you look at both of them background, and they both come from dysfunctional backgrounds. We were calling the church a generational curse, and they're just reproducing what they saw when they grew up. And it's very dangerous, women, for a boy to see his mama get beat on as a young child. He will want to step in, but as an older man, he will do almost the exact same thing that his daddy did. Hello, somebody. Talking about a generational curse and women, it's dangerous to be in a relationship where you accept anything from a man, because your daughter will grow up and accept the exact same thing that you accepted. Hello, somebody. And you think that they're crazy when really they got it from you. Because you accepted anything. Don't you know that you are a child of the King? You just can't let nobody just treat you like you are a non-factor. Hello, somebody. Ooh. When a man won't commit to you, that's what and how he's treating you, like you're a non-factor. Hello, somebody. That you don't exist. It's very dangerous to accept that kind of love. Oh, because nobody will respect you. That's why all them other girls trying to push up on your man, because your man haven't committed to you. Hello, somebody. A true man knows how to commit. A true man knows how to look out for his woman, too. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You accept this kind of love and non-commitment, and you give your life away, and you come to the end of your life, so you'll be like Bobby Brown at Whitney Houston's funeral. Oh, it won't even have space for you. And you've been with that person the last 20, 30, 40 years. Hello, somebody. Bobby said he had his kids with him, and Whitney probably spent more time in the last 20 years with him and his kids than anybody. But yet they didn't have a place for him because he was the ex. Oh, but you was never anything. You're not even an ex. And people won't even have your name on the funeral service. Hello, somebody, because you've accepted everything but what God said you should have. And I'm talking to the women and my spiritual daughters to let you know that you deserve better than what you are accepting. God says that he created you in his image. He created you. You are more than a man. You are a whoa man. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And if he can't recognize your value, then guess what? You need to kick him to the curb. I said, preacher, you heard me. You heard me, preacher, now. Now. I'm just trying to tell you what God says. He created marriage to protect women. And that's why we have so many women who are having pregnancy outside of wedlock. It's because of daddies are not there to protect them. Daddies are not there to look that boy square in the face. Daddies are not there to show them they gone. Daddies are not there to let them know, now, hey, this is not just any hoochie mama. Matter of fact, she's not a hoochie mama at all. You ain't gonna treat her like she's common. Hello, somebody. And we as a church, oh, we got to watch out for our girls. And we've got to look at some of these boys' eyes in the church and in the neighborhood and let them know this is not just any kind of girl. This is not just any kind of woman. This is a woman of God. Either you're going to be seriously committed or you step off. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. That's what marriage was meant to do. To be that protection, that guard amongst society. Marriage was meant to be that evangelism tool, as we share with my brothers keepers all the time. If a man gives his life to Jesus Christ, there's a 93% chance that the whole house will come to know Jesus. So that's why we're concerned about marriage. We're trying to have a revival in this place. Hello, somebody. And revival begins with men. And that's why I have to give this hard word to some of you. You need to step up and be the man that God called you to be. Hello, somebody. Some of you are known as men of God. Hello, somebody. But there's only one thing that people can hold against you, and it's affecting your evangelism. Hello, somebody. We're talking about, and that was the Institute of Marriage, and we talked about that on Wednesday night, and we want you to know that God created this marriage thing. God wants you to be married. If you don't have the gift of singleness, God wants you to be married. What is the gift of singleness? The gift of singleness means that you don't have any sexual urges. Hello, somebody. If you have urges, guess what? You're not meant to be single. I don't know why you've been single this long anyway. Hello, somebody. But God once again says that you just can't go out and marry just anybody. You've got to marry somebody that loves the Lord. Because the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Hello, somebody. So that don't mean you can just go out and marry that girl at the strip club and you talk about, I'm in love with a stripper. No, it don't work that way. It don't work that way. No, no, no. You've got to marry a woman of God. You've got to marry a man of God. Hello, and this morning I'm going to share the roles that both of you have, because if you didn't have an example, if you don't have a model, or didn't have the right model, sometimes that's even worse, to have the wrong model, because you'll go out and reproduce that toxic kind of marriage. You'll think marriage is supposed to be full of drama. You're supposed to argue, fuss, and fight, and cuss all the time. No, you had the wrong model. Well, this is the word this morning. It's going to show you the right model. If you didn't have the wrong model or the right model, or you had the wrong model. If you never saw marriage at work or active, or if you saw the wrong way it worked. Hello, somebody. This is the right model. It is the word of God. And the word of God talks about, first, about marriage in a husband and wife role. First of all, it talks about mutual leadership. Before he goes on to give the man his role and the wife's role, he said, submit to one another out of the reverence of Christ. And many times preachers don't even preach this part of the text. Especially those chauvinistic kind of brothers. They like to go straight to the woman's role and say that the woman is supposed to submit. You're supposed to submit to me. I'm the head honcho. I'm the king. I come home and you're to bow down to me, woman. As Dr. Phil says, so how's that working for you? Well, the Bible says, in regards to relationship, that there is a mutual leadership. Submit also to one another out of the reverence of Christ. Submit to one another. Before he gives her role and him his role, he says that this is a mutual thing. This is, and that's what a love marriage relationship is. It's a mutual thing. God doesn't want you to be his stepping mat. A and vice versa. But there's some women that run their households, Reverend. Hello, somebody. There's some women out there, they're getting violent. Not many. There is some. God says in his word that marriage is a mutual thing, a mutual submitting, a mutual subjecting, a mutual, that we talk things over before things are done. Hello, somebody, mutually. Hello, somebody. I just don't show up with a brand new car without my wife knowing about it. Hello, somebody. I just don't spend thousands of dollars without my wife knowing about it. I just don't be doing all of this stuff and silly thing that people do in a relationship. Don't you know you're in a relationship? You're not just in a ship. That's what you was when you were single. You were in a ship. But when you got married, you entered into a relationship, which means you've got somebody else to relate to. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And many marriages are not working well because you got an authoritative man saying, woman, you've got to do what I tell you to do. And the worst kinds will quote submission out of context. Hello, somebody. They'll never make it up to verse 21. Hello, somebody. You're supposed to submit to me. Hello, somebody. If you got to say it, there may be something wrong. Hello, somebody. But it's a mutual thing, a mutual leadership. And it says submit to one another out of what? The reverence for Christ. And that's what we need to realize, that I cannot mistreat anybody because I reverence Christ too much. Because we're all made in the image of God. And those of us who have been saved have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, which means I just can't treat you just any kind of way. I can't treat you like a non-factor when you go to this church. Hello, somebody. If you come to me, I have to listen because of the God in you. Right. Hello, somebody. And that's a mutual thing. And if we're going to be everything that God called us to be, we've got to apply this kind of submission within even our leadership ranks. Hello, somebody. This goes for a pastor and his deacons. We need to submit ourselves to one another. And that's my leadership style. If we're not on one accord, I don't want to do it. Hello, somebody. Because I know how the devil can get busy if we're not on one accord. And it's the same thing in marriage. If you're not on one accord, don't do it. Hello, somebody. Ooh, let me say, I could save you some heartache, some troubles. If your wife is not on one, but you say, preacher, you don't know my wife. I don't have to know your wife. I know your God. He said, out of reverence to Christ, out of reverence to Christ. Hello, somebody. Nobody can hold you back or hold you down or keep you from your blessings if you reverence Christ. As a matter of fact, the word of God says of your enemies that he can make your enemies your footstools, which means he can make your enemies serve you. Ooh. Bring you to your easy chair. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. So nobody can stop you if it's God's program. So why are you fussing and fighting? If you're not on one accord, don't do it. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Now that takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of faith for a preacher to want to be on one accord with with deacons. Because what if they don't want to do it? If they don't want to do it, it must not be God's will. That's the way I see it. Hello, somebody. I've made my mistakes in the past, but I try to keep us on one accord. Because I believe that God is powerful enough to work with us on one accord. And I know that if we're not on one accord, the devil gets busy. Hello, somebody. And that's why some of you're having relationship problems now, because the devil is busy, because you don't, you're not on one accord. You do whatever you want to do. Hello, somebody. That's why bill collectors are calling. She tried to stop you and tell you that you couldn't afford it, but you went out and did what you wanted to do, because you was the man. Hello, somebody. Now, your whole family is going through financial turmoil, which is the number one reason why people get divorced. And you're serving it up and giving it over to the devil. Hello, somebody. You need to be on one accord in marriage. Submit yourselves to one another out of the reverence of Christ. Hello, somebody that can help somebody married for 40 years or married or thinking about marriage. You remember, if you're thinking about marriage and you do get married, remember this is partnership. This is teamwork. Hello, somebody. Jordan didn't win his first championship by taking all the shots. Hello, somebody. He had to get somebody else involved. Hello, somebody. In the game. And that's what King James tried to do when he went down to Miami. He realized he couldn't do it all on his own in Cleveland, so he tried to get some folk around here who could he could pass it to. Hello, somebody. And they all had to play their own role. God wants us to be on one accord in our marriage relationships, mutual leadership. For Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Hello, somebody. Do you consider your wife better than you? Hello, somebody. Somebody say, oh, yeah. Let me ask the question for the wise, though. Do you consider him better than you? And I didn't hear no oh yes there, did I? I should have heard some oh yes. Oh, because that's what the Bible says. We can't be in a marriage. A marriage is not for selfish people. You just cannot be selfish and be married. And if you are, you're going to have a turbulent marriage. You just can't be vain and be married. Oh, and that's what the Word of God, and we said, and you can read in your handout or your pamphlets here, talks about what true love is. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is what? Patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, is not what? Self-seeking. And you got a lot of self-seeking folk in marriage. You won't consider your wife. You just do what you want to do. That's not of the Lord. That's self-seeking. That's vain. Oh, girl had a song. Said, you're so vain. You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. He said, preacher, take what you get. Hello, somebody. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Apply it to your marriage as a mutual leadership. Hello, somebody. You can't say amen, say ouch. Not all that, but it's a mutual lying or yielding. And we get into the wise role. The wise role, it says, wife, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Again, the Lord is in this thing. The Lord is in the mutual leadership. Now, the Lord is in this concept of submission, to subject yourself to that man. And that's why I tell single women, you just can't go out and marry just anybody, because you're going to have to follow him when you get married. And if he's making childish and stupid decisions when you're dating and single, guess what? When you marry him, it's not going to change. As a matter of fact, it'll get worse. Hello, somebody. So your main goal as a single woman is, you better know that this man is a man of God. You better know that God moves his heart. Because if you don't, you get into a lot of drama. Hello, somebody. And Mary J. Blige says, sung a song about no more pain, no more drama in her life. Hello, somebody. This is a biblical principle to be subject in the same way that we're supposed to be subject on the freeway to 55 or 70 miles an hour. Is the same way you're going to have to be with your husband. You're going to have to be subject to him. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You're going to have to be subject to him. Which you're going to have to be yielding to him. Because if you marry, and these are roles, by the way, roles, and you've got to stay in your lane, as some folks say. Know your role. Because if you don't, both of you will be unyielding. And a marriage, that's full of arguments, fussing, cussing, and fighting, has two unyielding people in it.
All right.
Hello, somebody. I had a concern when Sister Eton and I got married. My concern for us was that we're both used to being in charge. She was over a whole region of West Texas. She's been in the army. She's used to telling men what to do. Hello, somebody. Because she was a colonel. She led men. Hello, somebody. And when we got married, I told her, now, the only thing I have an issue with, well, we both used to wearing the pants. Hello, somebody. But you know what God said? God told me, but you're the only one with the equipment. So you don't have to be worried or concerned about that. Oh, hello, somebody. Sister Eton has led conferences on this word, submit. Hello, somebody. And taught on this word called submission. And I don't have a problem with Sister Eton. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Most women would have left Abilene to come to Paul's Valley. Hello. Hello, somebody. Some folks want to talk about you. Your wife won't even come to the Sunday service. Hello, somebody. My wife, she followed me. As God was leading me, she followed me. She gave up her big time job, making some good money. Hello, somebody. And following, I believe God is blessing her because of that. Hello, somebody. Somebody ought to give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here. Don't you know that when you submit to your husband out of the reverence of God, don't you know you're under that umbrella of blessings? Hello, somebody. Don't you know that's how you get blessed? If you're fighting him all the time and unyielding, guess what? You won't be blessed, and neither will your children be blessed. Because you disrupted the order of things. Hello, somebody. You just disrupted the order. You just decided to fight your own battles. Don't you know that God is bigger than your husband? Hello, somebody. Don't you know that if he's doing wrong and you submit to Christ, God can fight your battles? Hello, somebody. But if you're not submitted, guess what? You're going to have to fight your own battles. Hello, somebody. That's why y'all can't get along, arguing, fussing, and fighting, and nagging, having high blood pressure, you haven't got gray. Oh! Because you're trying to fight your own battles. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Sister Eton said, grace and blessing. But there's stress in this. And when you got two unyielding people, it becomes a mess. And don't you know that one of my only problems, I told you about the marriage, now let me tell you about the church. One of my only problems with Bethlehem that I thought could be a problem. I said, preacher, what's the problem? What's the problem? We got so many leaders in here. So, preacher, how could that be a bad thing? You got so many leaders. Why would that be a bad thing? Have you ever heard we're in Oklahoma. Have you ever heard the term, too many Indian chiefs? We you got too many chiefs they want to tell. They want to tell, and another chief ain't going to listen. Hello, somebody. But if we all stay in our roles, say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor, stay in your role, and you can be blessed. Hello, somebody. We learned in Sunday school that I am the chief under shepherd of the church. And notice what I said, under shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. Christ is the shepherd. Hello, somebody. Which means I submit to him. And I have to do what he's leading me to do. But as an under shepherd, the leadership process goes from me to the deacons. Now, when the church don't have a pastor, who's in charge? The deacons are in charge. Hello, somebody. But when the church does have a pastor, who's in charge? Amen. And it works the same thing in your marriage. And if you stay under the order of what I call the order of blessings, if you stay under the order of blessing, guess what? You'll be blessed. Oh, ladies, if you want to be blessed, subject or yield to your husbands. Now, this only works in marriage. If you're not married, you don't need to be yielding. He ain't did nothing for you. He ain't committed to you. Hello, somebody. You said, preacher, you're messing me up. Preacher, you're messing me up. I'm just teaching the word. but why submit yourself to your own, by the way, to your own husband? You don't submit to everybody, wives. Hello, somebody. You submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. That was a concern in the kingdom. Esther, Vesti. King asked her to do something. She decided not to do it. And guess what happened? She decided to be unyielding. Guess what happened? She lost her queenly position. Hello, somebody. This was their concern in Esther 1:20. And then the king's edict is proclaimed throughout all his vast realm. All the women will what? Respect their husbands. For what? From the least to the greatest. Hello, somebody. See, Anita, I think it was that Anita or Franklin. Aretha, yeah, Aretha. R-E-S-E-T. She's a woman asking for what a man should have. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. A man operates off of respect. Man really don't really can't even relate to love. Hello, somebody. You're trying to love him, but he wants you to respect him. Hello, somebody. You want to know how to respect him? You can learn from two things or two people in his life. I don't mean a medal. I guess it's meant for me to medal. You can learn from a man's best friend. Because when a man walks into the house, the man's best friend does what? Let's greet him and happy to see him. Happy, excited. Woo! I'm glad you're home. I'm glad you're home. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm glad you're home. I'm glad you're home. William and jumping up and greeting him. Hello, somebody. Oh, when he walks in, you're like a cat. The cat say what? You here? I thought you was gone. That's how you treat him. There's only one thing. The girl in the office is respecting him and is happy to see him and is excited about and want to hear him talk. Hello, somebody. Many times when men cheat and it's not right for men to cheat, the woman don't look better than she is. It's not finer than she is. It's the way that she treats him. Respect. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Which means to be yielding. Are you yielding to him? Are you happy to see him? Are you excited about him? See, the best thing since sliced bread, he's just another thing. That don't work for men. Hello, somebody. I need to move on because it's getting real quiet in here. Either some folk are learning or I'm about to get kicked out of the church. I'm just telling you what the word says. He said, now you respect, she made a public spectacle of him. He was the king. And that's what women do. Some women, unyielding women do. They make public spectacle. Now, love, true love, is what? Does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude. He asked her to come as the king, and she was rude to him. Hello, somebody. Are you rude to your husband? Don't be rude to your husband. Hello, somebody. People respect strangers better than they respect their own husbands. When the preacher man show up, you, hi, pastor, how you doing? No matter how hard a bad day you have, oh, good to see you, pastor. Your husband walk in, what you done? Hello, somebody. You say, but that's a front. That's a front. You're not being real. Yeah, you being real. You're showing whether you respect him or not. I pose the question, if Obama was coming to your house, what would you do? What would you do? Number one, the house would be clean, brother. Hello, somebody. Everything would be ready. Everything would be every time, and you would be ready. Ooh, he said, you really meddling now, preacher. I'm just telling you what real respect is. You don't let Obama see you. Ooh. Let me move on. It's getting too quiet. I'm just telling you what respect is. Are you respecting him? Don't you know that he is the king? Don't you know that you are the only one that he should really listen to? Don't you know that? And you're not saying nothing, but everybody else is saying something about it. He gets home, you're not saying nothing, you're complaining. Hello, somebody. He's very proficient in some areas, one area or not, and you're not saying nothing. There should be nobody boasting about their husband more than their wives. Hello, somebody. You boast about your husband? Say, you man, preacher, move on. I'm just telling you what respect is. Mutual lying, a mutual respect. Why? Submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. And not only that, but just make you think, I got to do all that. What have he got to do? Again, just remember your role. Stay in your lane. I'm going to get to him. And he's about to get it. Not because of me, but because of the word. It says what his role is. Ask your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Do you want to know what his role is? I'm glad you asked. For it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her husband. Love your wives. Oh, the Sunday school teacher talked about the 14 words of love, but this word in this text, and you hear me distinguish this all the time, is agape. Agape is void of emotions. Agape is a decision of the will. Hello, somebody. He said, preacher, you don't know my wife. I don't love her. Guess what? You don't have to love her that way anyway. You've got to be committed to her. Hello, somebody. You stood in front of the church, or you stood somewhere and somebody witnessed that you said that you would marry, and when you said that you would marry, you said that you would commit to her for the rest of her life, and that commitment a lot of times is void of emotions. And don't you know Christ didn't emotionally want to die on the cross? Hello, somebody. Say, what you talking about, preacher? He prayed in that garden out of his emotions. He said, Father, oh, Father, he wished that this cup could pass by. But then love hit him. Agape love hit him. And he said, nevertheless, not what I want emotionally. Nevertheless, not what I want to do. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. and he made that decision to leave that continent to go and die.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. Don't you know that when you get married, that's what your decision is to go and die. Hello, somebody. When the preacher names her Mr. and Mrs. Whomever, you are to leave that place and go and die. Die to yourself. Die to your selfish ways. Die. Oh, husbands, you're called to die. Husbands, you die by working. It's your job to be the provider, oh, for your household. And it's your job, oh, to sacrifice and to die and to go and work and to provide for your family, provide for your wife, provide for your children. Oh, even if you don't want to go to work, you better die to yourself in Jesus' name. God has called you to die to yourself, to die from your selfish way. It's not about you no more. Hello, somebody. You're not single no more. You got folk depending on you. And it's time for you to step up. It's time for you to step up. Oh, it's time for some of y'all to step up and get married, because it's not about you. It's not about the way you feel. You are a man of God. Act like it. Live like it. And God is telling you to die to yourself. Hello, somebody. Die to your selfish way. What I look like, calling myself a man, and the bills are do and need to be paid, and I go out and buy rims for my car. What I look like, go out and buy a new boat, and the bills need to be paid. What do I look like? Oh, not wanting to get up in the morning and going to work, because I just don't feel like that's a little boy. Marriage is not for boys. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Let me say that again. Marriage is not for boys. Marriage is for men who decide to show that kind of love. Don't you know that that kind of love says that I would die for you? Don't you know that kind of love says that when things go bump in the middle of the night, it's my job to get up and bump back in Jesus' name? I can't be emotional. It's a thing that you don't see about it. I'm scared. You are the military police. I'm scared. No, we must be willing to literally die. But for most of us, all they want us to do is to live for them. Hello, somebody. Many of you say you'll die when you're not living for them. Hello, somebody. You're supposed to be a man to die to your selfish ways. You're spending four nights and five nights out of the week hanging out with the boys. What I look like a married man hanging out with my single friends? Hello, somebody. Spending all my time with them. They can't keep a woman. They're telling you how to do your thing. Man, if I was you, I wouldn't take that. Yeah, if you married, you're going to take something. You have to take a whole lot, because Christ had to take the cross. Christ had to take crucifixion. Christ had to take it all. And don't you know God is calling you to be a man, and you've got to take what you need to take to make this marriage work. Oh, in Jesus' name, agape love is a decision of the will, saying, oh, what I said when I first started dating. Hello, somebody. We talked a pretty good game. That's why we had them, got them to marry us. Hello, somebody. We told them, ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me away from you. Hello, somebody. And now you don't even come home no more. Hello, somebody. Some of you younger fellas are listening to Bruno Mars. Let's jump on a grenade for you. Step in front of a train for you. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. God is calling the men of this church, because this affects our evangelism. They see us coming to this church. We're supposed to be men of God, and they see us living all kind of wicked, all kind of ways. But God is calling men in this church to be men and to die to yourself, die to your selfish ways, and put your priority on God first, and then after God, it's your wife. I said, after God, it's your wife, and nobody gets ahead of your wife, not even your children. Hello, somebody. Let me help somebody. Even if you're in a marriage where you have mixed children, if you want your marriage to work, you can't put them kids in front of her. Hello, somebody. Vice in both ways, a man or a woman. Oh, when you decide to get married, you commit to one another, and those kids have to be in third place. Hello, God first, your husband, mutual leadership. Nothing gets done unless you're on the same accord for your children. But you say, preacher, see me. Preacher, he mean he won't treat my kids like his kids. Hello, somebody. But why don't you stay in your lane, be submitted, and let God take care of that? Hello, somebody. But this is how marriages work. A man has to be committed. Hello, somebody. Ask your neighbor. Neighbor! Oh, neighbor. Are you a man? Hello, somebody. Are you willing to be a man? Hello, somebody. This is what the Bible says about it in its own interpretation, Ephesians 5:28. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his wife loves himself. Oh, that text is saying that you need to stop treating your wife like she's not a part of you. Hello, somebody. Making all kind of sick decisions without her. You treat her like your own body. Hello, somebody. Most of us treat us, our bodies pretty good. Most of us, but we may not be in the best of shape, but none of us have missed a meal. Hello, somebody. We treat our body pretty good. We, most of us, get our hair cut on a certain day, keep it clean, shine our shoes. We take good care of us and dress real nice and shirts and ties to come to church. You take care of yourself. This is a pet peeve. I hate to see a preacher look all sharp and you look at his wife and she, hello somebody, she raggedy. Like, she the preacher's wife? It's telling us something. Hello somebody. Hello somebody. Your wife don't need to look worse than you. She should look better than you. That's why God made her female. Hello, somebody. And gave her all the good looks. Hello, somebody. Are you sacrificing, men who are married? Single men, are you willing to sacrifice? It's time to get it right. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Call neighbor. It's time to get it right. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You said, preacher, go on, move on. Lastly, but not least, because I've already kept this too long, mutual lesson. This is the profound mystery. But I am talking about Christ and the church. Wait a minute, preacher, you started out talking about marriage. And husband's roles and women's roles. And then later he goes on to talk about the children, but I'm not concerned about the children today. You're not supposed to provoke them unto wrath, by the way. And you say, how do I provoke my child unto wrath? By being hypocritical. By telling them to do stuff that you're not doing. You don't want them to smoke and you sign it up. You don't want them to drink, but yet you pouring it up. You don't want them to be involved with little Johnny, but you creeping. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You got to be a good model. But this is talking about the profound mystery of Christ and the church. And this is how we make him known. God says in his word that marriage is supposed to be a model of Christ and the church. Oh, Christ is symbolic of that man. And that man should be willing to die. That man should be willing to live. That man should be willing to do what it takes. That his family, his wife, his children are taken care of. He should be Christ. Christ was willing to take taking care of the church. Christ understood the church. Oh, because Christ did for us what men are supposed to do. Oh, in marriage, men are supposed to know that women are a weaker vessel and treat her as a weaker vessel. And Christ had to treat the church like a weaker vessel. And as a result, when it came to having to sacrifice for the sins of the world, for the sins of the church, Christ had to come down out of heaven. Oh, and had to put on mankind and walk in this world and live amongst us for 33 years. Christ, because of his love, he knew somebody had to die, and he knew that he was the only one that would die in marriage. Oh, somebody is going to have to die. Who you think going to die for your family? Will anybody else die for your family? Will anybody else die for your family? No, nobody else will do it. You're going to have to do it. And Jesus had to come down off his celestial being and put on mankind, and he had to be willing to die, even though he emoted about it in that Garden of Gethsemane. And he asked, not to say men won't get weak sometimes. We get weak sometimes, but we've got to let that kind of love that's void of emotions to be a part of who we are and whose we are. And we've got to be willing to get up and to go die, to get up and be willing to go die for your wife, die for your children, to die for anybody under your household, because you're the man. And that's what Christ did. Christ died for us in Jesus' name. They put him on that cross, nailed him to that cross. That's the kind of love he suffered and he sacrificed. Put him on that cross, held him up between two thieves, even though he had the power to come down off that cross. Hello, somebody. A real man knows how to hold himself. Hello, son. He don't have to get mad and angry all the time and mad and argue, fuss and fight with his wife and his children. He has to hold himself upon that cross, and he's got to die sometimes to himself. And that's what Jesus had to do. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Deacons, will you come? Jesus, after he was tried for crimes that he didn't commit, after he was beaten and crucified, mocked and scorned, after they put that cross on his back and led him through the streets of Jerusalem, after he got to that hill called Golgotha and nailed to that cross, after they raised him up between two thieves, it was his love that did it, his love that kept him there, that love that's willing to sacrifice, that love that's willing to do the right thing, that love that was willing to do what God says to do. It was that love that kept him there, that love that enabled him to die. But I'm so glad that he didn't stay dead. I said, I'm so glad that he didn't stay dead, for the Bible says that he laid in that tomb, that borrowed tomb, for 3 days. But on the third day, he got up with all power in his hands. He got up with all power in his hand on that third day. And that's the power of love. The power of love is that love never dies. The power of love is that there's always can be a comeback. The power of love says your marriage don't always have to be the way that it is. The power of love says that I'm going to love you till the day that I die. I'm going to commit to you in Jesus' name. That's what Christ did. That's the mystery of marriage. The mystery of marriage is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That word love is in that text, agape love to God, made this decision. And as Tyler Perry said yesterday, what can separate you from the love of God? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's somebody here, you don't know Christ, but all kinds of circumstances
circumstances have been trying to separate you from the love of God. You came from some crazy places. You never had the right kind of model. Oh, you never thought that God loves you. But God says today that he loves you. He loves you through your heartaches, your trials, your suffering, and your pain. And today he's reaching out to you and wanting you to give your life to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. That's one decision today. There may be others. Baptism, prayer. You might say, preacher, pray for me in my marriage. Pray for me to be the man that God has called me
Hello
to be.
Hello again,
pray
this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. Before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms. And his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned, come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born into the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Falls Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family. Because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. Thank you for and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home. And put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life is changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. This is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God. And I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more, whatever God is laying on your heart. We need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com.